Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. Oh, let's thank our worship team, man. We have just so much talent here. So grateful for them. I'm telling you, life is better with Otis Redding. That's just how I feel. I love, anybody like R&B? I'm an R&B guy. Like, I mean, Jesus will change your soul, but R&B will change your life, okay? So you come over to my house, you sit on the back porch, I got a chimney going, and I got the R&B playing in the background. I love that, can listen to it all day long. Hey, would you stand if you are able? We're gonna read some scripture together. If you're brand new, let me say hi. My name is Brad, and I'm the lead pastor. So glad that you are here today. Laura and I would love to meet you. So we're always back by those front doors, as you heard. And just please come by and say hi. If you brought somebody with you, and we didn't get to meet you before, please come by. We want to be able to meet you and just welcome you to Core Church. We're glad you're here. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Leave. Even if they came in the same car as you, and you don't really mean it. Okay, you know, like you're ready to leave them at home and come worship Jesus by yourself. If you got a Bible, let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. If you do not have a copy of the scriptures, we have free Bibles. They're out in the lobby. You can pick them up before you leave today. There's also a Lord's Prayer guide that goes that'll help you kind of develop a daily habit with him. Like, how do I read the scriptures? Where do I start? That'll really help you with that. We also have a lot of tools online as well. So we're in this series, second week of our series called Playlist, and this is where we take songs that are very popular in our culture, and we look at them through the lens of Scripture. What does God have to say about these songs? If this is your first Sunday with us, let me just let you in on what I tell people all the time is, I just believe there's just two types of music. That's it. There's only two kinds. I mean, yes, there are different genres, but there's just two types of music. There's music that honors God, and there's music that does not honor God. That's it. It doesn't matter. There's music that's country that honors God and that doesn't honor God. There's rock, there's R&B, there's hip-hop that honors God and that doesn't honor God. And I just want to encourage you that, man, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to check your playlist. Come on, turn to somebody, tell them you need to check your playlist. I can just do an altar call right now, can I? For myself. I mean, sometimes I am just, I got my mowing headphones on, and I mean, I got my playlist going, and that song comes on. I'm halfway into the song, and I'm like, probably shouldn't be listening to this, but this is my jam. You're like, the pastor should probably not say that. But that's just the truth. I mean, there are songs that end up on our playlist that we're like, well, and if you compromise in one area, you'll compromise in every area. And I just want to tell you, whatever gets into your ear gets into your soul. I just absolutely believe that. So why would we eat out of the world's garbage can? I don't know why we would do that. Now listen, again, I want to say to you, I'm not saying that you need to get rid of all your secular music, whatever that word means, and only listen to Christian music. I'm just saying we just need to check our playlist. Just ask every song, does this honor God? I'm going to keep listening to it. Does this not honor God? Then I'm going to get rid of it in my life. Some of y'all are elbowing somebody next to you, and you're like, yeah, he's talking to you. He's preaching to you today. Come on, turn to somebody, tell him, he's preaching to me. He's preaching to me. We're, all of us have songs. I mean, Evelyn Larson has songs on her playlist that I... She's literally the only person here who does not need to clean up her playlist, okay? I mean, she was listening to something the other day in a different language. I didn't even know what it was, and I think it was Hebrew. She was listening to Hebrew worship, and I'm like, who listens to Hebrew worship? Evelyn Larson, that's her playlist. So the rest of us have a long way to go. So during this series, though, we are talking about our four core values. So if you're brand new, this is the best time to come because you find out who we are and what we are all about. This is what we're about right here, these four things right here. So let's say these together, because this is what Core Church is. Hope for the heart, healing for the soul, peace of mind, and purpose in the world. And this is all based on scripture, foundational to what Jesus told us. So this is where this comes from, Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Let's say this scripture together. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." So during playlists, we've got a series that we're calling The God Who Loves. It is my hope that during this series, you're going to walk away and really deeply know how loved you are by God. It's my prayer that through what we talk about today and the scriptures that we share together, that you see no matter where you are in life, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've done it with or when it was, he's still the God. He never stops loving you. And he comes, pursues you, he finds you where you're at, and he calls you out of that into a better life. That's what all of us who are followers of Jesus here would testify to. If you testified to that, would you say amen? Amen. So we've been looking at these different songs. Last week we talked about Hope for the Heart. We talked about the God who sees you. I can see clearly now, the rain has gone. So today I want to talk to you about healing for the soul, and the God who sits with you, the God who sits with you. So Luke chapter 19 is where we are. And if you are using the YouVersion app, that's a great app to download. So a lot of people on their phones today, they're looking at YouVersion. And I'm in the New Living Translation. So if you're in a different one, you'll be like, I have no idea what he's talking about. This reads so differently. So I read out of the New Living Translation. And if you're new to church, let me kind of explain who Luke is. So Luke is not one of the 12 disciples. He is a follower of Jesus. He saw Jesus. He knew the disciples. He was close to them. And he wrote down the accounts of some of the disciples, and it became one of the Gospels. And these are the stories of Jesus' life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the stories of Jesus' life. And this is Luke's stories of that. So in Luke chapter 19 is a very familiar story. In fact, for those of you who grew up in church, if you're looking at that, you already know. It's the story of Zacchaeus. How many of you grew up in church? Raise your hand. How many of you having flashbacks right now to Sunday school? Because Zacchaeus was what? That ain't right, by the way. That ain't right. Why do we teach preschoolers to diss on short people? That ain't right. Call somebody, but that is not politically correct. But yet we're having these little four-year-olds sing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Okay, that's as far as we're going on that, by the way. We didn't go any further on that song. I mean, that. So some of y'all know, if you weren't scarred by Sunday school, congratulations, welcome. We're glad you're here today. So this is not a children's story. I'm saying that to myself because every time I read this story, I think of the flannel board when I was a little boy, and I think of the song, and I can't stop singing the song, and so I think of it as a children's story, and it's not a children's story. It's a story for all of us, and it says this: Jesus entered Jericho, and he made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He'd become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name, Zacchaeus. And what did he say? You come down, yeah. For what? That's the song, that's not the scripture. Okay? Maybe we should have done that one for playlists. That would have just brought a lot of people in right there. So Zacchaeus, he says, quick, come down. I got to be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down. He took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy, but the people, they were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. We'll explain why they said that about him. If you're wondering, like, why would they say that about him, we'll tell you why. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord, and he said, I'm going to give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. What that is, by the way, is repentance. That's repentance. I recognize what I've done, and I'm going to turn from doing what I was doing, and I'm going to do something different in my life. That's what repentance is, turning and going in the opposite direction.
Jesus said this, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Let's just pray here, and then I'm gonna let you be seated here in just a moment, but let's pray together. Father, we ask you to come. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would minister today to all of us. In some ways, all of us are Zacchaeus, and we need to know how you're going to speak to us today. So I want to ask you, church, to just begin to pray for those that are around you. You don't have to do that out loud, but I want to ask you, would you pray for them? Those that are in front of you, behind you, to your left and to your right, whether you know them or not, all of us bring baggage into this place. Distractions, frustrations, pain, disappointment, it's all in this room right now. But the Holy Spirit wants to minister to each of us. So let's pray for one another. And then pray for your own soul today. God, what do you want to say to me today? God, we are ready. Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. So just about everybody knows this, but if this is your first time, this series really comes out of my love for music because my background is radio. I wasn't always a preacher. What brought Laura and I to Tulsa was radio, and I did morning show radio for many years here in Tulsa before I became a pastor. I worked at Z104.5, and then I did some country for a while. Radio was always my dream. I never, ever thought I would be doing this. I never thought about ever being a pastor. In fact, when I was a little boy, it's all I ever wanted to be. Do you remember when you were little and you had that dream, you know, like, this is what I'm gonna be when I get older? Well, for me, it was radio. I was infatuated with the radio. I still remember the paper route that I had, and I collected enough money that I could go down to the local electronics store, and I bought my first radio when I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I would listen to it late in the night, and I would kind of mimic the DJs, and I just thought, man, that's the life. Like, I looked at them and I was like, that's the, man, that I glamorized. I was like, that is what I'm gonna do with my life. And I had this tape recorder. Okay, for you young people, it's this thing that you put a cassette in, had these two things in the, never mind. Actually, you all know what tapes are because they're making a comeback. Cassette tapes are making a comeback, huh? So anyway, but I had this cassette tape recorder and I would record myself pretending to be a DJ. And then I'd listen back to my voice. Have you ever done that before? You're like, is that what I sound like? Wow, that's weird. But I wanted so badly to do that. And then when I was 16 years old, we were living in a really small town, Rolla, Missouri, population 10,000. And I went down to the local radio station and applied to become a DJ. And they had no job openings at that time. And I said, can I just hang out? I would love to just hang out. And they said, okay, sure, you can hang out. And so I did. I just hung out. I went and got the DJ's coffee. I would make copies. I would take out the trash, whatever they needed. And back in the day, smoking was a big, big deal. Do you remember smoking in the workplace? And then people go outside on their smoke breaks all the time, a really big deal. Well, DJs were notorious for smoking. They love smoking. And so these DJs would have their smoke breaks, and they kind of took advantage of a little 16-year-old kid by taking extended smoke breaks. And I would be in the DJ booth, and they would let me play the records. I couldn't talk on the radio, but I got to start playing the records, and I was like just enamored with it. I was like, this is the greatest thing. I can't believe I'm doing this, and I wasn't getting paid a dime. And then I remember they came to me, and they got tired of me hanging out, and they said, hey, we're going to give you the Saturday night shift, 7 to midnight. I was freaking out. I was 16 years old, and I was going to be live on the radio on Saturday night when everybody was cruising the strip. I was the man. I was like, I have hit the jackpot. I remember thinking, this is it. I have arrived. I remember I'd be on the radio. People would be calling in requests, and I would play their requests. I'd walk down the hall at school, And people would be like, hey, listening to you on Saturday.
That's right, you were. That's right. On KCLU 93.1.
I loved it. And I remember being in class and people would pass me notes. Hey, would you play this song and mention my name on Saturday? And I'm like, yeah, I will. That's right. I mean, I was walking down the hallway. Girls were throwing their phone numbers at me. There were so many of them, I couldn't keep track. I was trying to pick who I was going to go out on Friday night. Okay, that part I made up. That was the part I was hoping for. Never happened. Only one girl had mercy on me, and praise God, she's sitting right there, huh? Yeah, that's right. So all the people at school, they thought that, you know, I was the man, you know, that I had arrived. But what they didn't know was that what I thought was going to, I don't know, make me happy and make me feel good and I would be the person I always thought I could be, didn't turn out to be what I thought it was going to be. I had glamorized something and thought if I got there, then everything would be good. And when I got there, what my friends didn't know was that I was putting up a front and I looked the part, but on the inside, I was pretty empty. I was just lost. I wasn't following Jesus, and I was broken, and I was searching, and nothing was filling that void like I thought radio would do. Maybe that's you. Like everybody looks at you, and you look like you have it all together. Like your neighbors look across the street at you, and they're like, you just look, everything just looks great. But inside, you know, it's not so great. People are scrolling your social media feed, and you put the right pictures up, and the smiles, and you're with your buddies and your friends, or you're out at the lake, or whatever it is that you're doing, and it looks, you look the part, but you know that that's all a facade, because behind that picture is a lot of pain. Behind that picture is somebody who's empty and lost and trying to figure life out and can't figure out, why can't I feel the emptiness in me? Why am I struggling? Or maybe you show up at church on Sunday like this and you look the part. And you show up and you kind of sing the songs, or you look like you're singing the songs, and everybody sees you and you're just a part of the church, and they think everything's okay. And you know, for years, it's not been okay. Well, at Core Church, what we believe is that void, that emptiness, that longing that we have can only be filled by Jesus. That's why this is one of our core values. In fact, you might want to write it down. Healing for the soul is found in Jesus. Can you say that with me? Healing for the soul is found in Jesus. So in this story of Zacchaeus, this is where he's at. It appears like he's got it all together. But inside, he's longing for more. He's got this void and this emptiness and this kind of hole that he's trying to fill. Like, let's look back at the story. Right here at the beginning, it looks like he's got it all together. Verse 2. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in the region. And what? Say it with me. He had become very rich. I mean, he's doing pretty good for himself. Like that's the goal, right? That's what we're all after. If I can just get enough money, if I can just get that word rich attached to me. But he's doing really, really good for himself because he's the chief tax collector. That's key, by the way. He's not just a tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. That means he's over an entire region. What that means is he gets to go to the Romans and work with them, and they determine what the tax is, and then he gets to decide what he wants to take off of the top of that. He can charge whatever he wants to charge, and he can make as much money as he wants to make. So he has the money. He has the power, he has the position, he has the success, but yet here he is longing for more. See, when we have that void, that emptiness, that longing, that hole that's in our soul, we try to fill it with something. But we know that it doesn't work. Like, I don't even have to tell you that. You know that. But we still chase after things, don't we? Even though we know it's not gonna satisfy, we still go after it. It's like this week they just announced the newest iPhone. The iPhone 17 is coming out. Right now, some of you are like, what? I just got the 16. You're like, wait. And here's the crazy thing. That once the iPhone 17 comes out, it's already outdated. Did you know that? The iPhone 17 hasn't even gone on sale, and it's already the old iPhone. Do you know why? Because they're already in production on iPhone 18. It's like some of you right now, you're like, man, I'm not even in double digits on my iPhone right now. How many of you, come on, how many of you would admit you're in single digits right now on your iPhone? Anybody here? Oh, come on, you're my people. What number is it? Who's got a single digit? What number is it? 7. You're on a 7. Wow, anybody lower than a 7? A 5? Okay, no. We got a 7 in here. Somebody pray for them right now. Somebody, come on, take an off. We're going to take a special offering right now for. But what happens is you think, once I get that, then everything, and it doesn't. That's Zacchaeus, man. Zacchaeus like had the latest iPhone, had whatever he wanted to have, yet he's unfulfilled. He still feels empty inside. What's interesting here is the name Zacchaeus means pure, innocent, and clean. And Zacchaeus was anything but that. He was ripping off his own people, taking advantage and exploiting his own people. He was like, they didn't like the Romans, first of all, because they were occupying Israel. And they didn't have their freedom. And then on top of that, the Romans are taxing them and taking all the money out to Rome. And now one of their own is collecting the Roman tax. And not just collecting the Roman tax, but taking what he wants off the top, charging whatever he wants. So of course he's despised. Of course they don't like him. No wonder he's hiding in that tree. It's like the song says, I've had nothing to live for, and it looks like nothing's going to come my way. Maybe you can relate to that. On the outside, everything is good. You have the latest, you have the greatest, you have the appearance, but on the inside, you're anything but pure, innocent, and clean. I mean, deep down inside, like you're riddled with shame or guilt, you carry all the mistakes that you've made. You know the people that you've hurt. The record that plays tells you what can't be undone. Like no matter how many times you replay it and you try to trick yourself into thinking and massaging it to look good or change it, it doesn't change. There's nothing you can do to do that or change that. Well, if that's you, look at verse 3. It says this, Zacchaeus tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was what? He was what? He's too short. He's too short to see over the crowd. Like maybe that's you today, that you want to follow Jesus, but you just keep falling short. What I want you to know is that you're not alone. You're in a room filled with people who have fallen short. Come on, turn to somebody and say, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. All of us. Paul says in Romans 3:23, all. Somebody say all.
All.
Somebody say me.
Yeah,
all of us have fallen short. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody measures up. So look at verse 4. It says this, so he ran ahead. He didn't walk. He didn't take his time. He didn't do the Abba walk mosey. Okay, he didn't do that. No. I mean, this dude is like, he's running. What does that say to you? He's desperate. He's desperate for change. He's desperate for something. He's desperate to think that maybe Jesus, just maybe if I get a glimpse of him or something. When I ask you today, how desperate are you for change? Because you will not change until you get desperate. If you wonder, like, think about somebody you know, like, you know they need to change, they need to do something different, and you're trying to coach them along, you're trying to help them, you're trying to encourage them, but they don't change. It's because they're not desperate for it. And here's the thing I want you to know is get desperate. Get desperate for Jesus, because what will happen is if you don't get desperate for Jesus, you'll be put into a place that you don't want to be put in, where he will create something that makes you desperate for him. And it's out of that desperateness that here Zacchaeus comes to the Lord. And it says this, he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree. I know nothing about trees. I couldn't tell you what a sycamore tree is, or a fig tree, or a spruce, or a maple. I don't know the difference between, I don't know even the trees that are in my yard, okay? I mean, I know what a Bradford pear is, because those are the ones that are always laying on the ground after the wind, right? So I know, Bradford pear, that's the one I know. Well, a sycamore tree is massive, and its branches are huge, and it's really full, and the branches go almost to the ground. I was talking about this with our staff, and Pastor Eric said, I had a sycamore tree in my backyard growing up. And so he sent me a picture. This is a picture of the sycamore tree in Pastor Eric's backyard. Big old tree. And he was telling me that him and his brother would go out and they would pretend like they were Zacchaeus. Can you imagine that, Pastor Eric? Like, so he'd go out and his big brother, and Eric said, I'd climb the tree, and my brother would go, Zacchaeus, you come down. And that was just last weekend. So he's not here, so I can mess with him. But a sycamore tree is full. You can hide out in it. That's what Zacchaeus is doing. He's hiding out. Like, he wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't want Jesus to see him. Are you in that place? Like, you're desperate for Jesus. You really would want to see Jesus, but man, the last thing you want is Jesus looking at you because of what you've done. And that's Zacchaeus. He's weighed down by sin and regret and shame. So he climbs this tree and he just tries to kind of keep his distance so no one will see him. And he watches as Jesus is touching other people's lives. Like, he's healing people, he's forgiving people, he's restoring people. Maybe that's you today. Like, you're here today, but you're hiding. No one knows you're hiding. And you watch, and you see people's lives being touched by Jesus. You see people being healed. You see forgiveness. You see people being baptized and coming up to new life, and you see that happening for them. But maybe you're like Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus, he's looking at all this, and he's saying, yeah, good for them, but that ain't for me. Not after what I've done. So he sat hidden in that tree. I don't want you to just sit here and hide out when freedom is possible for you, when new life is possible for you, when sin and shame can be broken off of you. Healing is for everyone, or it's for no one. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them healing is for everyone. Turn them, say, healing is for everyone. Healing's for everyone. It's like the song says this, look, it looks like nothing's gonna change. Everything just remains the same. That right there is the soundtrack of shame. This is who you are and who you'll always be. This is who you are and who you'll always be. This is who you are and this is who you will always be. That's the lie that Zacchaeus was believing, and I wonder how many of you today are believing that lie, because it's a lie that the enemy is putting on you and into your mind and making you think you can't become the person that Jesus created you to be. Let's look at verse 5. This here, I hope, gives you some hope today. So Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. He says, Zacchaeus! How many of you remember when your parents would call your name? Never good, right? Like, when your parents called your name, like, and if they used both names, like Bradley, Daryl, you knew it was double the trouble. You knew it was, your parents, when they called your name, you weren't like, oh, I bet they want to take me somewhere fun. Oh, I bet they have a snack for me. You know, I bet it's probably a raise in my allowance. I'm sure that's what it is. It was never any of that. It was always, you had done something. I can't imagine that moment when he says, Zacchaeus, that he's like, just that, taking his breath away. I was trying to hide. And none of these people know that I'm here, and now everyone knows I'm here, and you see me, and now you're about to call me out, but it doesn't go that way. That's what the enemy wants you to think right now. The moment Jesus calls your name, it's not going to go well for you. But it's actually the opposite of that. Listen to the story here. Jesus says this, come down quickly. I must be a guest in your home today. Like Zacchaeus is sitting in that tree and he's, as the song says, he's resting his bones. Like loneliness won't leave him alone. And I love this. Jesus looks throughout the crowd and he picks Zacchaeus. Of all the people he could go and sit with, of all the people he could go and eat with, every person at home he's going to go into, he looks at the crowd and he picks Zacchaeus, like Zacchaeus, the notorious sinner. That would be like if Jesus was here today and he was trying to decide who he's going to go to lunch with after service. And he looks over the crowd and he doesn't pick the preacher. He doesn't pick the small group leader. He doesn't pick the prayer team. He picks the worst sinner in this room. You're the one I want to go to lunch with. You're the one I want to sit with. That's who Jesus is. That's why he came. The crowd was upset. Why were they upset? Because the home and the meal were very sacred in the Jewish tradition. By him going into Zacchaeus' home, what he was doing is he was giving him a symbol of acceptance and friendship. Yes, that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was the friend of sinners. In fact, in verse 10, it says this. Jesus said these words, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are what? Lost. That's who he's going after. Like, this is who Jesus is. This is why he came. I'd like for you to write this down. He's the God who sits with me. He's the God who sits with me. This is who we are at Core Church. This is what we are all about at Core Church. Like, this house will always be open to notorious sinners. This is what we're all about. This is why, listen, you are sitting amongst notorious sinners saved by the grace and mercy of God. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm one of those sinners. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, I'm one of those sinners saved by grace. Come on, let's give him some praise for that. Come on, that's worthy of praise right there. He came to your house. He sat at your table. He ate a meal with you in your mess. He didn't wait for you to get cleaned up. No. He came to you when you were broken. Let that speak to you today. Are you broken? Is your life a mess? Is there a void? Is there emptiness? You're the one that Jesus came to search out and find today. You're the one he came to minister today. You're the one he wants to sit with. He wants to save you by his grace and bring you out of that. Look what Jesus said in verse 9. Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. See, Zacchaeus walked into his home a sinner, but he walked out of his home a son of Abraham. What does that mean? It meant that he was an heir to the promise. He's weighed down with regret and shame, but when Jesus sat with him, everything changed. Like, Jesus redeemed his past and restored Zacchaeus' name. Pure, innocent, clean. That's what Jesus does. He redeems our past and he restores our identity. Your identity was meant to be found in Jesus Christ. Listen, not in a Saturday night radio show. not in the latest iPhone, not in a social media feed. No, your identity was meant to be found in Christ. And today, Jesus is calling your name because he wants to come sit with you. And he wants to bring you out of your shame and your brokenness and restore you to new life. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.